So, Thomas, if you were to name me a peripheral manufacturer, not a manufacturer of profiteroles, but peripherals for computer, not overalls, peripherals, what would be the greatest company name that you can think of?
All right,
would
what
it
names?
Be Mad Cats?
That's pretty groovy with a Z, you know.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Got a Z. It's throwing it out there. What about Logitech?
Logitech. It's logical, but
it
a bit
is.
Dull.
Yeah. What about Thrustmaster?
Thrustmaster!
Thrustmaster. Yeah, we're not being rude. Tom was just reading a bit of Drive Club news in that essentially Sony has said that the only wheels that will be supported by Wednesday's release of Drive Club are the Thrustmaster wheels.
The Thrustmaster T80 and T300 RS wheels, to
Why
be exact.
Why has Thrustmaster escaped our limited knowledge of driving peripherals?
Thrustmaster.
I was thrusting on the heath with my Thrustmaster.
I have a Thrustmaster at home.
Really? I wanna be
bam! A Thrustmaster.
Won't you call my name?
Ooh,
sorry.
Dirty.
Yeah.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm all right. I still can't get over Thrustmaster. I'd very much like to try out a Thrustmaster wheel. Like, sounds like something I could get behind.
I've got a Thrustmaster Ferrari wheel.
Really? For what console?
PS2.
Oh, great. Well, it's a well-established company then. I'm just not that into driving
clamp so
peripherals.
You can clamp it to your desk.
Whoa! Yeah. That sounds pretty impressive.
It's all right.
You know,
use it with
it helps.
Colin McRae rally.
It helps, just in case you're thrusting too much. And it keeps it secure, rigid and firm. Thrustmaster.
Yeah.
Out now. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was playing a driving game earlier, actually.
Really? So was I.
One of the few games I've played this week.
I've played quite a few.
I played Need for Speed Hot Pursuit on
Interesting.
The PS3, a game I purchased last Christmas in a Christmas PlayStation Store sale. And I'd been, I really liked it at first. And I got to a point where I was like, stuck, and there were like two races I needed to do. I couldn't do either of them. I couldn't progress any further because I was struggling with it.
Yeah.
Came to it today, no problems. Got on with it. Got quite addicted to it. I love the idea of this is an old game.
Cops and robbers.
The cops and robber thing, and you've got those. You can either play the not robbers so much, just illegal street racers.
Okay.
Know? So you either play as the street racers doing the races
yeah,
and
but
avoiding
cops...
the cops, or you can play as the cops and you can take down the street racers.
So cops and Bolsheviks, cops and ruffians,
and
cops and ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah. Beautiful looking game as well. I mean, I know it's an old game, but it's still a good one.
Yeah?
Still holds up very well now.
You enjoyed it then?
Oh, very much. I think it's... what put me off a lot of the more recent Need for Speed games is they seem to be rehashes. And this really... Well, it retains elements of Burnout, obviously made by Criterion.
Yeah.
It doesn't... It is add something fresh to the mix, at least for me anyway, because I've not played the original Hot Pursuit or anything like that. So.
Okay.
And Need for Speed, I think, has always been associated with the cops as well. I remember the original Need for Speed, the cops would chase you.
I remember Need for Speed Most Wanted. Remember?
This is the original Most Wanted, not the more recent.
No, the Xbox 360 one.
Burnout Paradise Clone.
No, not that one.
I played it briefly in a shop, a demo unit, and it just seemed like all the same stuff recycled.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd assume it's a perfectly good game, but not one I feel like I need to play because, you know, I'm quite familiar with Burnout Paradise.
Oh, fair enough. It's just funny you should mention in-shop units, because that's exactly where I played a driving game today.
Yes, go on.
Our good near and dear Bilka, where I got some Bilka bargains, which are my Danish deal of the week, and which I will mention later in my bought section. But they just hooked up an Xbox One kiosk, as they have in the mall. But every time I've gone past GameStop, it's not been on, so I got time to stand there interrupted with an Xbox One
for the first time.
Properly, yeah. I saw a bit of Halo 2 champ Championship Edition. Halo 2 in the Master Chief Collection being played, and I literally held the controller for all of 5 minutes and played a quick death match.
Really? This,
That controller was well worn in, and I didn't really talk about it last week.
Okay,
but
no,
this one was brand spanking new. I held it in my hands and could actually, you know, stand there a little while and appreciate the controller.
It's good. I like it.
Feels like the 360 controller. Yeah. I'll be honest, because of my bony fingers, I don't really like the rests, you know, where it goes up into the controller buttons. But I think that was just because the PS4s is so grooved.
Mm.
I think I'm used to holding that controller now, so by comparison, it felt a bit strange going back to an Xbox 360 controller, almost. But I really liked it. The thumbsticks on it are fucking awesome. I really like that little subtle gripper on the edge. Really nice. Honestly, these are like brand spanking new. I think it wasn't there when we went on Friday, so I assume they've put it out over the weekend. Yeah. And, ooh, yeah. Mm. I like that very subtle nub.
I was thinking about the differences between the Xbox controllers and the PlayStation controllers today when I'm playing Burnout. Burnout. See, I even think I was playing Burnout.
Need for Speed
pops you. And it's not great for racing games. I've never felt the PS3 controller was great for racing games. And one thing I noticed is I was using the middle of my thumb, not the tip of my thumb, to press the X button. It just isn't. It's too low down.
Okay.
And I and also the triggers, of course, on the back they're quite slippy. I know they've made peripherals where you clip them onto the triggers on the PS3 pad to improve your grip on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it is, you know, it's not the greatest controller for long plays of driving games. Okay. I think that's the reason why in the driving games I have them 360, because it's just not quite the best. It's fine for a period of time, and then it's a bit frustrating.
Okay.
And your hands feel a bit crippled. Anyway, what did you play on the Xbox today?
I played a bit of Forza 5.
A driving game.
I did play a driving game. Well, I just wanted to look how the system looked, you know, and I have to say, very, very impressive.
When I played Forza, it was like, well, it's Forza.
Well, yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, I knew it was going to be a racing game, and I played today also the greatest racing game ever made, i.e. Power Racer on the Game Boy, which I'll talk about later. And I played it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this is a racing game. I got to drive in a Ford Mustang because I have a very soft spot for the Ford Mustang. And it was a very pretty looking game. Like, I couldn't figure out how to get it so I could actually view the race from above my shoulder, like the back of the car.
Okay.
So I was driving in like first person view, which I never usually play driving games in that way. But like, looked very good. Like, the textures on, like, the leather gloves that the guy was driving, because it was a vintage car, looked very nice, and it all looked very realistic.
I found it harder than Forza, normally.
Yeah?
When I played it, it seemed different to me.
Yeah. Well,
did you manage it all right with it?
I did okay. I came second. Like, I had to bash a few cars, which probably lost me some points or whatever, but, like, I came second. Well, I was on the second lap, and I was like, okay, I've played enough of this now. Mm. I just wanted to see what it looked like. Pressed me visually, though. Like, pressed me more than I think anything on the PS4 has up to this
shock
point.
Shock horror.
But, controller, like I said, felt non-cumbersome, felt all right, felt a little bit of a step backwards, though, in the back for me, like I said, because my thumbs on the 360 controller especially find a natural groove, and even more so now on the PS4. But that's my only complaint with it. Felt all right. Like, the weight was nice. It didn't feel too heavy or too light. Admittedly, it did have a cable on the back. But, yeah, felt good. I would even say something that at Alexums on Twitter, our good friend Sam, who always tweets at us, said that the UI on the Xbox One is actually better than that on the PS4, and I would tend to agree. The user interface on it was very nice. I quickly navigated to my games and played them, because they were all in a games thing, which was all separated by tiles, so I could clearly see what they were, and there were six on the screen at once, so I didn't really have to scroll. Don't know how that would compare to the PS4s in if you had as many games as I have on my PS4, where they would take up a lot of blades. But
blades, you still call it blades.
I still call it blades, I'm old school. But like, in the grand scheme of things, quite enjoyed it. Thought it was alright. Yeah, Xbox, Microsoft, if you want to send us one, that'd be much appreciated.
Yeah.
Never going to happen. You played anything else?
Have I played anything else this week? Yes, usual Thursday night gaming sessions were as usual this week as we pulled out an old favourite, Dead Rising 2.
Ooh, this is classic Tom Parry. Yeah. This is, if our life in Denmark were split into seasons, this would be the third, and this is going back to season one. It's happening back to the old days of us living in shared accommodation.
Yeah.
How
not
was
just,
it?
Not just me and Matt sharing.
No.
How was it? It was as irritating as it used to be in the fact that it drops out a lot.
Really?
In multiplayer.
Admittedly, our internet is a bit temperamental.
Yeah, but it's always dropped
time.
Out. Even back in the old season one days.
Yeah.
It was the most notorious game for doing that. And if it didn't do that, I'd still like it a lot as I do. But it drops out, and so that's annoying.
Okay. Well, that sucks. That's a bit of a shame.
But it has great game. I mean, it's very impressive still, I think. Still a lot of fun. Still, I think, rather unique. I'd like to play Dead Rising 3.
I would. Yeah, so would I. I didn't hear rave reviews about it, though. Like, that was the killer app, the Xbox One, for most people's point of view, from what I heard, because Forza was so laden with DLC, which I've heard isn't that much of a problem in Forza Horizon, is it?
Okay, that's which is
the new
out,
one that's just come
this
out.
Week?
I've heard that Forza Horizon 2, however, isn't as fun as Forza Horizon 1.
Oh.
I've heard
Forza Horizon 1's fun. How come this isn't as fun?
I've heard it's not as open, which is a bit of a shame, because you playing Forza Horizon, the first one, actually made me want to play Forza Horizon.
Oh my god.
But yeah, these are just early chatter. This is Giant Bomb. They are a bit overly critical of some things sometimes. So if you guys back home have played it, then please let us know at TMAcast on Twitter and let us know if Forza Horizon 2 is any good.
Yeah, you talk about our network connection. It's down at the
Oh,
moment.
That's because our router's just been unplugged.
Oh, oh okay.
Sorry.
I was trying to update this store on the...
My apologies, I thought you were installing the update. I've also, like I said, been playing a bit of Power Racer on the Game Boy, which I won't talk about too much, but I will mention because, well, because I'm going to do a Game Boy video. Well, for those who don't know, I have a YouTube channel called Game Boy. Go check it out.
I've heard of that.
I know, weird, right? But I played a bit of this game called Power Racer, which I received in the week, along with a few other Game Boy games. I got one called Buster Move 3 DX, which is interesting because it's a DX game, which tends to mean that it's the director's cut, right? Is that what DX stands for? Or what was
it? It was Sonic Adventure on the GameCube.
Yeah, but the DX titles, to my memory, on the Game Boy
Deluxe.
Tend to be, maybe Deluxe.
And Mario Brothers Deluxe, Zelda Deluxe.
They tend to be Game Boy Color titles, so I was quite surprised to see that this was a regular grey cart.
But was it not Buster Move 3 DX on other formats?
I don't know. Perhaps.
I think it was, maybe on the N64.
Perhaps it was, that's maybe
PlayStation.
Why. PlayStation. Yeah, but I played a bit of Buster Move, it was alright, it was Buster Move. It kind of threw me at the start because there's very stylized art of almost fighting game characters. I was like, oh, is this the same Buster Move or is it something else that they've called Buster Move, like Poyo or something like that, Poyo Pop. But it wasn't, it is Buster Move and it's very good. But along with that, I got Power Racer, which is a game by Tecmo, the creators of such great games as Shadow Warrior, i.e. Ninja Gaiden, or at least the publisher of, and of a game called Power Racer, which I thought would just be your run-of-the-mill Game Boy racing game, which is over-the-shoulder perspective of the driving of the car, looking very clunky, chugging along.
Or a Micro Machines type game.
Or maybe a Micro Machines type game. To be honest, I kind of looking at the front that it would just be your run-of-the-mill Game Boy racing game. Like, no, I've not even like RC AM Pro, is it?
RC Pro AM.
RC Pro AM, sorry. That was a Micro Machine style game, which is actually quite fun. That's probably my favourite racing game on the Game Boy, because a lot of them tend to be, like I said, just your standard, like, playing any racing game, you know?
This is more of an arcade title.
It was. It's actually a maze game. Surprise, surprise. Much like Fish Dude, which
or
I reviewed
Pac-Man.
Last week. Or Pac-Man, in that you are running around a maze collecting things. It's very Pac-Man-esque, but the only difference is you're driving a car. However, there's also another car in there with you, and you need to collect all of these little dots, these little ball things. I don't know what they are.
Like
what?
Pac-Man. Power
like
pellets.
Pac-Man, yes. And you have to avoid the other car, which is also racing at the opposite direction. You're going...
It's trying to crash into you.
Yeah, you're going anti-clockwise and the other car's going clockwise and it's trying to crash into you.
Yeah.
Almost kind of... It reminds me of Tron. I don't know why. Okay. Like, I know it's not true that they like cycle games like that because you're trying to make a stream that people crash into. But it's got very Tron-like... death race kind of vibe to it in that you have to collect all these pellets and avoid this thing.
It could easily be called Suicide Racer.
It
we
could.
About earlier.
Because the other car is literally just gunning for you.
Yeah.
Very interested if you pick up a copy of this to see how the two-player works because I can't figure it out. I just assumed it would be a regular game. But maybe
take turns.
No. I think it's head-to-head because it's supposed to the link cable.
Oh.
But how does that work? Like, how do they gauge who crashed into who? Like, if that's the case, if the game is to kill each other.
A different sort of...
It must be just point-based, right? Like, it's got to be. I can't think of another way. Yeah. It must be whoever gets the most points, and if you crash into each other, you both die.
Can we try it?
We can. We've only got one car, unfortunately. So, yeah.
I want to get this game, though. So
I think you should. I think it's a very good game. I recommend really it to anyone who's interested in interesting Game Boy games.
It's very straightforward. If you imagine, like... one of those handheld Tile Electronics games you get. It reminded me of that kind
of
experience.
Yeah, definitely. It's got an LCD game feel about it, right?
It is what it is, you know. It's so many levels of the same thing, but it's just simple, addictive, and a lot of fun.
But it's beautiful. I really like it because of that. Like, there's also a special mode, which I played after I dabbled a bit in the regular mode, and that is kind of more of a campaign, if you will, in that the maze slightly changes up. And they introduce new elements like
so there
oil.
There is more to it.
Yeah, they introduce things like oil slicks.
Wow.
So, like, if you go over the oil, your car spins around for a couple of seconds, which gives the guy time to come into you. There's also one where you've got gates. So, halfway through the bends, you can press in and go into the next lane. So, you can almost kind of skip in and out of lanes. It looked very interesting. I have to play more of it to do a biographic on it, but I imagine that'll be up by the end of the week for those of you who are interested. But looked like a really fun game. I recommend it. It seems to be a bit of a rare title, but if you can pick it up for cheap, get it.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else your side? Or are you?
I've been playing this week.
Yes. Or are you that barren on games?
I'm afraid I might very well be.
Well then, I guess I'll quickly talk about some of the other stuff I picked up before going back to the stuff I teased last week in the way of some very rare NES titles.
Oh yeah, everyone's been waiting on that.
I'm sure they have. No one's tweeted at me about it though. What were you going to say, Tom?
I was going to say, you know, in terms of talking about last week, I remember saying last week I couldn't handle anything fast and I've gone from that to playing Need for Speed.
Yeah.
And that's quite fast and intense.
It is
so
quite.
I think I've recovered.
That's good.
From my illness.
I was ill in the week. I went down with a bit of a stomach thing. But fortunately, on that day, I received a small parcel with some Game Boy games in it, which was King Rock's Treasure, The Flintstones by Taito, which is a very good platforming game. I got a copy of Oddworld, Abe's Adventure, which is the greatest thing in the world, because I posted on Twitter saying I had it, and a few people were like, oh, I didn't realise this existed, blah, 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 blah. And then Oddworld inhabitants themselves tweeted at me and said, I wouldn't recommend it, which is great, which made me want to play it. And I can confirm, bit of a shit game.
Yeah, I remember this being reviewed back in N64 magazine, and I took the decision not to investigate any further. There's two, isn't there?
There's one on a Game Boy Color as well. But this one is just a very scaled-down version of Oddworld. Kind of weird. Kind of well done. Like, it looks like Oddworld.
The animation's smooth. I had a quick go.
As much as an 8-bit game can. But they've also got voice synthesis as well. Like, Abe's laugh is in there when you blow up a slig.
He doesn't say, follow me.
No, he doesn't. I don't think there's a...
Follow me.
I think it's more of a puzzle-based platformer than anything else. Yeah. Puzzle action game, if you won't. I also got in that parcel... Shit, what else did I get?
You didn't get that, did you?
No, shit. I didn't get shit in a parcel. Fortunately, no one had sent us anything that vulgar. There were two other games in that parcel, anyways. I'll have a quick look on the old twits to see
how many games
I can see
you can't remember what he's bought.
Honestly, it was because it was kind of overshadowed by... the wonderful parcel that came from our good friend Pear. What was it? What was it? What was it?
Well, Matt tries to work out what it was.
There we go. It was Reservoir Rat, which is a platformer by THQ, which is quite interesting. And a racing game called Lamborghini Challenge, which is what I thought Power Racer would be. Third person over the shoulder kind of racing game.
Not very good. Or have you?
No, that's all right. Nothing against it. It isn't that,
look at that
bad
picture. Lamborghini American Challenge.
I can get it.
Oh, by Titus. I remember they made a good game, race game in N64 called Roadsters, which I used to quite enjoy playing.
What were you looking up, Thomas?
What was I looking up?
Yes.
On the internet?
Yes.
Pictures on Facebook.
Oh, great. sorry, I thought you were going to chime in with something in between. But
No, I was going to talk about what I purchased, but now I'll let you continue.
So I got this box of our good friend Pear, Selected Driver and Gwyn Jenny. And in this box, as I said, was a few games that he had said, hey, I'm going to give all these to charity if you don't want it.
You can be Pear's charity.
I could.
And receive the goods off him.
Yes. He sent me a load of games. Amongst them was some Super Nintendo games such as Pocky and Rocky, Pop and Twimby, a copy of Chrono Trigger, a copy of Final Fantasy III, a copy of Secret of Mana, which was very nice. There was a copy of Kirby's Secret Shards.
Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards?
Crystal Shards, yes, it is. A copy of Paper Mario, which I was very excited about because I'd forgotten it was in there, and I've been after that game for a while. A copy of Psychonetsu 3, i.e. the Japanese version of Secret of Mana 2. There were a few other very nice N64 bits in there as well, like Lilac Wars and the token Super Mario 64. There's also a copy of Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, and a box copy of Yoshi's Story.
All free?
Yes. And there were one or two other free games as well. The Adventures of Lolo 3, which I had a go at, which I quite enjoyed. And a copy of Kirby's Adventure. Then we get into the good stuff. I am now the proud owner of a boxed copy of Euphoria, which is a Metroidvania-esque game created by Sunsoft. Which is a very charming visual aesthetic and is a very enjoyable game to play. I've completed it a few times on emulator because our friend Matteo is a very big fan of it because of the art style. And I now own a copy of two of the rarest NES games, i.e. Little Samson and...
Little Samson!
Little Samson! To quote Game Chasers. And also a copy of Mr. Gimmick, which is a Sunsoft platformer of very notable acclaim due to its visual style, the fact that it's perhaps one of the first games, especially on an 8-bit system, to introduce a physics engine. Mm-hmm. And it plays like a dream. It's made by the same team who made Trip World, so if you see my biographic video on that, you'll know what to expect in terms of visual style, but imagine that in colour. It is very, very hard. Yeah. Like, Pat the NES Punk has a great video about it, and it is fucking ludicrous in points how hard it is. But, yeah.
Does it keep you playing?
I really enjoyed it. I've been wanting to go back to it for most of the week, to be honest, but Destiny called, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But, yeah, I really like it. I really want to sit down and give it the time of day, and I really want to make a video on it for those who are not familiar with it, because it's fantastic.
It's a big deal, this, isn't it? You now have these games that are rarities, but they're also good games as well. It's not like you've decided to purchase these just because they're rare. It's more these are games you wanted to play on their original system.
These are games I wanted to play on the original system, and games that I fear may never be released elsewhere. I'd be very, very surprised.
Euphoria's on the Wii U, though.
Yeah, Euphoria is. Euphoria I mainly got because it was a box copy of a game I really enjoyed, and it now sits alongside my copy of Parasol Stars. It is a very nice box. Weirdly, they changed. There's supposed to be like a cat girl character, not in like a sexy cat girl thing you tend to get in Japanese anime, but like a cat with a bow as a character. For some reason, they changed it into a lizard in the European release. But I'm okay with that, because I really like the design.
You really like lizards?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Gon from Tekken.
Okay, yeah.
But with a horn. And Little Samson, though, I must say, I'm very impressed with that game. it's a Taito platformer, so I knew it was going to be a quality title, which is why I wanted to play it.
It's Taito?
Yes, Taito. Yeah. But it's a good game. Like, honestly, I saw someone today had picked it up in a Lopper market, a flea market here in Denmark, and I was planning to go to, and I was like, ah, oh well, I'll let you have it. I've already got a copy now anyway. It doesn't bother me. And I really want to play more of it. I only played the first two levels because I was kind of sampling the smorgasbord of retro gaming delights that I received through the mail. Mm. And yeah, it's beautiful. There was a level I played first as Samson himself, which is just your basic platformer, kind of like Mega Man style, but with also some elements of Shadow Warrior and the fact that you could wall climb, which is something that took me a bit by surprise because I didn't expect. It's kind of Mega Man meets Shadow Warriors in my eyes. And then the second level, I was playing as a dragon, which is one of the best looking sprites I've seen on the NES. And able to throw fireballs and stuff. It was a very late game, which is why
it is
so obscure, rare. Because it was printed in a very long print run because the Super Nintendo had already been out for 2 or 3 years. But honestly, if you can track down a copy, if not play it on emulation, because Little Samson's a great game, as is Gimmick. I don't want to talk about Gimmick too much because I really want to do a video, but Gimmick is fantastic. I really enjoyed it, even though it's rock hard. Euphoria is good too. So, yeah, very happy. As you say, these are rare games, but ones I really want to play. And when I factor in the other games that I got for free, and then I kind of say, well, I'm technically paying for all of these. I won't announce the price I paid for them, but it is under market value for a lot of them. Yeah. Like, if I were to pick one or two of those games, it's not even close to how much Gimmick's worth I paid for all of them. I'll say that now. And so I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very pleased. And these games will have a permanent place in my collection because I don't plan on selling them because I don't think I'll ever own them again.
Have you maybe made your most expensive video game purchase you'll ever make now? Is there anything else on the horizon that you'd really like to have? Because I know you've just recently you got the likes of Trip World, which is also an expensive game.
Trip World was a very expensive game. I paid more for Trip World than I paid for any of these titles, let it be known. And that is saying something because I didn't. I probably paid on par because of the discounts that Game Spirit offered at that time. But honestly, I don't think there's anything else I want. Like, I want Lufia, like the first one.
Hmm.
On the Super Nintendo, but I think that's about it. Like, got the Final Fantasy game I really wanted. Final Fantasy 2, i.e. Final Fantasy 4, would be a nice thing to add to my collection, but I'm not that desperate to have it. I have Soul Blazer, I have Illusion of Time, I have Terranigma. Like, I have all of the great Super Nintendo games I think I want. Like, I wouldn't mind X, 2, and 3, but there's no way in hell I'm paying over £100 for a game. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that is the case with those games. I think I've got them. Like, unless something else like Gimmick or Samson, something I didn't know that existed, is presented to me and someone says, this is an amazing game for the NES. You really need to get this. Like, I'd really like Panic Restaurant. Like, if I could find Panic Restaurant at an affordable price, and I don't think it was released in Europe, I'm probably going to get people tweeting at me telling me I'm wrong. That looks like a very good game. But again, I would not pay the asking price of a game like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about
Mighty
you?
Mighty Final Fight?
No. I
don't know how rare comparable
that Mighty is. Final Fight is a rare game. It's probably even more expensive. There's also one called Banana Kid, which is a very, very rare platformer that looks really cool.
Yeah.
But it was only released in Germany. It's Japan and Germany. And as a result, it's very expensive. Also, the NES version of Hammer and Harry is quite a pricey title.
Okay.
But I, you know, I'm not that fussed. Like, I'm going to eventually get Hammer and Harry for the Game Boy, and I could probably pick it up for the Famicom and save myself a bundle.
Yeah, well, I've saved a bit of money. I've got my Mighty Final Fight on the Game Boy Advance on the Capcom collection.
Yeah, I didn't even realise that was on there.
I didn't really realise there was a Capcom collection on Game Boy Advance, which included, I think, 3 games.
Yeah.
2, I can't remember, but they're probably classic Capcom titles. I bought it for Mighty Final Fight. But
yeah.
Cheap, you know, it wasn't an expensive game. And a good way to get hold of a game which, alternatively, would cost you quite a lot of money.
Yeah, and I mean, you could plug it into the GameCube and then play it with...
Play it on your TV.
On the TV, like you would on the NES version.
Yeah.
Probably slightly upscaled graphics, probably better frame rate. I mean, it is on a 32 16-bit system. Let's hope the conversion is good. No, it is a 16-bit system, isn't it? It's an 8-bit game. Sorry, I'm moving it up a little too much.
It's a 32-bit system, Game Boy Advance.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought I wasn't talking up my ass. Hooray! Yeah.
Well, at least it was marketed as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember.
I'm pretty sure I can go get a box and have a look if you really want, but I won't bother. What else have you purchased this week?
This week, Matt, you picked up a couple of games for me.
I did. The Danish Steel of the Week.
Yes. I got a copy of Star Trek on the Xbox 360 for 25 kroner.
Yes.
Not a lot of money.
No, not.
But who'd want to spend a lot of money on a game which is notoriously not that good?
But we can play it in co-op, because I hear the co-op mode's pretty...
Yeah, I've seen screenshots of the game. I think it looks quite nice. Does it play okay? Well, we'll find out. I mean, at that price, you know, you can afford to be curious.
Exactly.
And the other game that we both picked up, actually, was Sly Raccoon Thieves in Time for the PS Vita, which was just a little bit more at 30 kroner.
It was indeed.
For the British,
actually,
it's just,
if I remember.
A bit more than
£3.
It
is. I remember correctly. It's actually cross platforms. You also have a PS3 copy of this game now. It's
do
a cross buy, yes. So it even says on the back, look.
Oh.
Cross platform play, PlayStation 3.
Is that just cross platform save?
No, I remember correctly, it is a cross-buy game. Or it was at the time. I don't know if
Med cross-save. It's a lot about cross-save.
It was a cross-buy at release. I'm not sure if this version is, but we'll check. Mm. Actually, I'll even open my copy. Yeah, that at the wonderful bargain price of 30 kroner. So £3.
Well, a little bit more, but only marginally.
£3.10.
And from the same place, which is Fotex, which is a supermarket, where occasionally you'll find the odd bargain.
Bilka.
Oh, sorry, was it Bilka?
It was Bilka.
You tell me Fotex on the phone.
Bilka Bargain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course, yeah. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time 3D. I picked this up from Bilka, actually, not so long ago.
Did you really?
I think I paid about a tenner for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Never mind.
You got it for 30 kroner.
30 kroner. Just over £3. Yeah, there's no code in here, so I don't assume it is. Maybe it was the PlayStation 3 version.
Maybe.
Could be played on the Vita. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows. But, yeah, I'm still not sticking my nose up at it. It's like £3 for two.
They've been the best Danish bargains in a while, haven't they?
They have. I did actually pick up locally earlier. I picked up two Game Boys with four titles, one of them being Wario Land, one being Pocket Bomberman. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the black
Pocket
cart.
Bomberman.
Which
is the Game Boy Color cart, no?
It is a Game Boy Color cart. Yeah. There is a grey cart of it. This one has graphic updates and a few extra things. It's actually an RPG of Bomberman, would you believe it or not?
Oh.
It's supposed to be very good. There's also a game called Bomberman Quest, which a podcast listener, Stu, actually donated to me a long time back. So I'm going to play this first and then play Bomberman Quest. But I love it because the guy who sold it to me obviously cared about it. He was saying, like, oh, do you still play him and all this? I said, yeah, we even got a YouTube channel about the Game Boys and stuff. I got a red one and I picked up a blue one, which is the one I was actually after in this whole lot, and as well as Pocket Bomberman. The rest will go into the trade pile. There's a multi-cart of a 32-in-1, which had a game called Serpent, which I wasn't familiar with, that I actually quite enjoy. It's like Snake, but futuristic. And a Game Boy Gallery Collection 5-in-1 cart, which I already
that owned. One, yes, I know this one. I have this. Oh, it's got the Pat Mole Whacker hammering game.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it in the Bomberman thing, there's also a code sheet called Coda Til Bomberman, which is code for Bomberman in Danish, and then got level codes. So obviously, like, this was this guy's Game Boy, I think. Like, at least one of them. I don't know if the other one was maybe his wife.
Yeah, but
you say
it's a Game Boy Color, so he's not playing it on...
No, it's a cross cart. It's a black cartridge.
I actually forgot you could do that.
Yeah, it's... It's an updated version of the original Game Boy game.
It's like 9 times out of 10. Pokemon Silver?
Pokemon Silver had the ability to be played on both cards.
And Wario.
Yes, Land. Wario Land 2 was released as a black cartridge as well as a grey cartridge in Europe.
And stuff like R-Type, DX as well, is playable on both.
It is indeed. Mm. It's actually, I can't really seem to find a list of the black cartridges online, which is very interesting to me. Because technically speaking, they aren't Game Boy games, even though they kind of bridge the gap between Game Boy Color and Game Boy. But yeah, it's interesting to me that this exists. And then there are just Game Boy Color only games, much like they will now be 3DS.
Yes, I can say it's a curious grey area, but it's a curious black area.
Ha 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 ha. You tell them, Tom.
Indeed.
But no, that was 300 kroner. Oh, no, it wasn't. Nice. It was 250, actually. I tell a lie. For three games, or four games, technically, and a multi-cart. As well as two Game Boys. A blue one, which is a European-only one, so it's quite rare. And then a red one, which will now go to eBay and hopefully fund the purchase of all of them. Yay.
How much were you looking for this game?
I don't know. Well, are you interested?
I don't know. I don't have an original Game Boy.
You don't have an original Game Boy?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Never had that. I thought you knew that.
I didn't realise that.
I wouldn't mind an original Game Boy, Matthew.
Okay. We'll talk about it off the podcast. Yeah. So I picked up those. That's pretty much it. There's a lot of games that I've picked up in this month, but not actually really paid that much for, if I'm being honest.
Bargain September. Well, are you talking about October?
Well, it's technically October, right? They arrived in October, even though we teased them before. Yeah, anything else? Any buys?
Well, yes,
any
there buys? Is, and then you know about this, and I told you earlier in the week what I'd purchased. Not a game, but a console.
Oh, yes, I remember. Oh, God. Right, I'm going to get my whipping boots on.
Whipping boots? They sound dangerous.
My whipping boots.
Oh, okay. So, I was browsing eBay, as you do. As you do, and I was curious to see how much the old, I'll give it away now, the Wii Mini was going for. I found a Wii Mini box with all its leads and controllers, which would seem to be not something you find that often on eBay, because the majority of these Wii Minis being sold just the units. I imagine whoever's selling them want to keep hold of the cables and the Wii remotes for, and maybe they own another Wii console, want some spare cables and extra Wii remote. So the whole thing was all together, all in the box and everything. £55, including postage. Ooh, compare that with some of the other ones that were listed.
I can't believe the
reasonable.
People are listing them without all the accessories.
Yeah,
like,
they just want to sell the unit to other people like me who are like, I think the Wii Mini looks quite cool.
So
aesthetically,
do I. Like,
maybe I'd just like to buy one. Put my original Wii away, use my old cables, plug them in. But, yeah. Yeah, so I bought that. I bought it basically because I like the look of it. And it did start to dawn on me that I own multiples of consoles across the board.
You do?
And one of the few ones I don't own a duplicate of is the Wii. And so I kind of justified it in a way with the
theoretically,
fact that
you
own
Wii
two Wiis. Oh, yeah, but that's different console.
Yeah, that's with different backwards console. Compatibility.
And it's always nice if you're going to get a duplicate console to make it something unique.
Yes.
For example, the Mega Drive 1, the Mega Drive 2, you know, it's the same console. It looks different.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 1, the PlayStation, the PSX, the yes. PS1, sorry. PlayStation 2, PlayStation Slim. Also, you can get different versions of the Xbox.
Yes.
The original Xbox, which is going to be my next acquisition.
Yeah.
Because I have the old standard original Xbox. My disc tray's a bit knackered. And this is another excuse for getting...
Yeah, exactly. Talk yourself into it,
maybe
Tom.
I can get one of those lovely, transparent green ones.
Which are very, very nice.
Look very nice. So, yeah, this is my thing now, I think.
Collecting duplicate consoles.
It's really weird. I actually own many Dreamcasts, but they're all the same. They don't look any different. But that was purely because they kept breaking.
Yeah.
I have the Master System 1 and Master System 2.
You have you have two PlayStation 3s. You have a silver one and you have an original 60 gig. I know technically it's your mum and dad's, but, you know.
It used to be half mine.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure one day, you know, they'll maybe get themselves a Blu-ray player and no longer require.
Yeah, have you got two CDIs?
No, I was actually looking at that. I've got the CDI 450, the one with the top-loading disc thing.
Yeah.
You get one of the original models reasonably inexpensively.
Okay.
With the disc tray. Actually, there's a few models of the CDI. You can take my pick.
What consoles do I own? Well, obviously, I've got a lot of Game Boys. That goes for the Game Boy family. I have a lot of Game Boy Advances. I have a lot of Game Boy Colors. I've got original DMG Game Boys. I'm only missing two variants now of the main ones before they start
we
going into licensed things.
We sound obsessive now, don't we? We've gone over... On this podcast, we've talked about buying really expensive games, buying duplicates of consoles, massive doubles piles of video games
that
you've got.
Don't get me started on that. I have... five, I want to say, of the original Game Boy DMG lineup, or is it six? I've got a grey one, a white one, which is the rare Japanese one, which is the holy grail of Game Boy, essentially.
What about the Game Boy Light? That's probably holy grail.
Yeah, but like that that's different territory. That is crazy money territory that I'm not really willing to go down at the moment. White, grey, red, blue, green, transparent. So I got six, and I need the yellow, and I need the black. And
you then need them.
I do. And then I have the original lineup of them. The black one is quite a rare one, not as rare as the blue, definitely not as rare as the white, so it should be reasonable to get. I've seen a few of them on DBA, and I'm actually inquiring after one now. And the yellow I see all the time.
Yeah, I've seen that quite.
It's pretty common. It was a very easy console to get. I think it was one of the first ones released in colour along with the red. And also was in a lot of bundles with a lot of games, like Donkey Kong,
because of the banana colour.
Yes, because of the banana colour. And, right, okay, so I got that.
Here we go.
I got five Game Boy Advance SPs in various colours. One DMG 101s, or not DMG, AGS 101, sorry, and then two that are 001.
Explain for...
Right,
the
Game Boy Advance SP has two variants. There is one with a frontlit screen, which is generally the model you will probably have, which has a serial number on the back on the big black rectangular bit that says AGS-001. Yeah. This is the most common model. It was first released because that's how Nintendo decided to light the screen. However, later in the Game Boy's lifespan, they realised, hey, if we actually just put these same LCDs behind the screen, then... it'll be much better for people.
A much improved image.
And it is crazy how
you can put
well
the two side by side.
And we have done when I first got my 101. There are three known variants of it in Europe. In America, they did release a few more, like a transparent, crazy looking one, and an onyx one, which is a weird kind of like off black colour, which looks really nice. With a grey inner. So this in a bit where the D-pad and stuff is grey, and then the outside's black.
I think the SP is one of the most lovely consoles.
It's a beautiful console.
It's the most perfect portable Game Boy.
It is, and it's what I play my Game Boy games on when I'm travelling around. But if you have a pink one, if you have a tribal one, and if you are in mainland Europe, not the UK, unfortunately, you have what is known as an ocean blue one, which is a very kind of teal blue colour one.
Very nice.
And chances are you have an AGS 101 if you bought it later in the lifespan. You can flip it over and check. If you do have them, they are actually more valuable because they're more desirable
and then
to
you
play
could
on.
Laugh at someone else's and say, haha, my screen's not bright.
You could, or you could sell yours and then buy two 001s if you really wanted, because that's the difficulty of obtaining them, and the price difference is pretty much double what a regular SP is worth. I have that. I have two 360s, one in my mum's back home in Wales is admittedly dead, which is why I bought a new Slim when I came to Denmark.
I think many people have more than one 360.
I have.
Luckily, I haven't.
Both a... well, if we count multi-regions, I have a few. Because I've got a American Super Nintendo and a British Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you can't count.
Okay, right, and they need to be the same region. Okay, well, I have two Super Nintendos. I have my original one, which is a bit temperamental, and the one here, which, for all intents and purposes at the moment, doesn't work. I have three N64s. I have the one now, good friend, at the Retro
Actually,
Hunter.
You can count them.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck. Okay. This makes me sound even more obsessive then, because I have three PS2s. I have one in my mum's that I didn't bring with me. I've got one here that I bought in a flea market because we didn't have a PS2 at the time, and I have an American one for playing JRPGs, so I don't have to bring a PS1 over. However, I do have both a British and an American PS1 because there was one here and one that was here when we moved in the shared accommodation we previously mentioned.
I gave it to you, actually.
You did, indeed. And I have the one I bought at launch. I have... three N64s. Two of them don't really work, though, which is the one I have here, the regular standard console. Mm. I have a transparent blue one, which I'm trying to fix. And I did get to work the other day, by the way. Mm, so it is a bit temperamental, so I'm hoping I can get it repaired somewhere and it'll work properly. And I have one that our good friend at the Retro Hunter Ali donated to me because it's got Zelda stickers all over it, which works, which is in the UK. I have... now two GameCubes, because I bought one at a bargain price because it had a Game Boy Advance player for recording the biographic videos, and I also have that's black, and I have a purple one back in the UK.
Yeah, same here.
I have two NESs, my original one and the one I got here in Denmark, PAL A, PAL B, because my one back home doesn't really work. It's even more temperamental than the PAL B one we've got here, believe it or not. Two Commodore 64s, one in my mum and dad's attic, one we donated. two Amigas, Amiga 1200. Well, no, Amiga 1200, Amiga 500 are technically different consoles, so I'm not going to count them. I think that's it.
Needless to say,
we have a lot of duplicate consoles, which, when you think about it, kind of alarming. I didn't really think about it, to be honest.
Apart from my the amount of Dreamcasts I've got, I think mostly have no more than two of each.
Classic Super Nintendo consoles, or consoles that I was really into before I came to Denmark, I tended to leave at home other than my Super Nintendo. So, yeah, it's kind of understandable I've bought them again, because as my N64 and my Super Nintendo have shown, travelling halfway across the world, i.e. an hour flight, from the UK to Denmark, has been temperamental.
Well, you've been
for
unlucky
my retro
there,
consoles.
I've been incredibly lucky with the fact that my Japanese PS2 bringing that over crashed onto the ground at Stansted Airport
and still survived. Every console I've brought over has perished in transit. Now I think
You're
about
really
it.
Really unlucky.
I've been really unlucky with consoles. Actually, my American Super Nintendo is still fine, thank God. But that's because I wrapped it in about 8 layers of clothes and put it in my backpack and made sure
really
it was with me at all times.
We could do a whole section on tips for transporting consoles.
We could, quite easily. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do like a video thing about it.
Yeah, I've done it a lot of times.
You brought over your Scorpion 8. Now you can take back your Scorpion 8.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going to have to buy a bloody Famicom, you bastard.
It's got all these Famicom games mounting up at home that I want to play.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. Leave some of them here, though. Please. So we can play them on the Famicom. Yeah. Anything else? Any more for any more?
No more. Yeah, I going back to what we started on, I did buy a Wii Mini. Contemplate that for a while.
Yes.
No internet connection.
No.
No backwards compatibility.
Pretty red box. That's all that matters.
Pretty unnecessary.
Pretty unnecessary, but pretty good looking.
I'd say so. I'll give you my full verdict. I'm interested to find that if it actually has SD card slots.
Yeah, that could be a bit of a pain in the ass, because then you won't be able to play any of your WiiWare stuff,
right? Not
that
I can anyway, because they're tied to my Wii U now.
Really?
Yeah, that's how they do it. They tie it to the console. So when you transfer all your data over from your original Wii to your Wii U, you know, you can no longer play all that on the Wii anymore.
But how can it check?
It's clever. I don't know exactly what it's doing, but you can't re-download it on that system.
Yeah, but like, if you've got it on your SD card still...
Yeah, it won't play it.
But what about the Wii Mini? Because you can't go online and check your status.
I don't think it's going to have an SD card slot. I'm sure those familiar with the console will be able to tell us now. Send us a message, let us know. Or I'll find out
at
on Wednesday when I go
on
back.
On Twitter, if anyone has a Wii Mini, let us know. But you're going back on Wednesday anyway, so by the time people listen to this, maybe you'll already found out and cried.
Mm-hmm. Or I could look on internet myself, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay.
But we want to encourage user interaction. Have you had any questions?
Yes, please. No, we haven't.
Oh, right.
I'm going to post it on Facebook. I'm just going to send it out to the masses on Facebook. I'll also send it out to people on Twitter.
Because, we've answered maybe a few today. How many duplicate consoles do you own, Matthew? You've done that one.
Yes. We also kind of answered a few in the first episode. Like, I think that's a nice... About Tom and Matt Attack. Like, I think we answer a lot of questions about, like... Or at least I do. I think we did it in typical Blast Process format, right? Where you asked me a load of questions about, like, what's my favourite...
Oh, did we do that?
I think so.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It's almost 2 years.
Wow. 73 we're on now.
I know. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. This is pretty crazy. Hey, tell us about Destiny, Matthew, because you've been playing a bit more...
Right. So, I'm... Saturday morning, me and my compadres were going to play Destiny... And we said, hey, let's go do Vault of Glass. We are all level 26, almost. Some of them are level 27.
A raid.
Yes, it is a raid in Destiny.
To happen on a particular day.
A six-player cooperative event in the world of Destiny that can only be done by six people in a party who are communicating because it is the height of communication, etc., etc. So we set about going to do this, and Bungie have actually got the level cap at level 22. Like, you can theoretically enter the Vault of Glass at level 22. Mm. However, they recommend players level 26 to enter. What annoys me about that is we learned as we tried and failed to form the spire that opens the Vault of Glass is that anyone in your party below level 26, which was me and another person in our squad called Sean... who were level 25 and just barely under level 26 because I played for God knows how long before it, trying to get new gear, and I couldn't. And then I played for almost the whole day yesterday, and I still am level 25 because of how terrible that loot system is. And we couldn't open the vault of glass because anyone below level 26 gets a 20% damage decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my shots were 20% less effective than they should be on these enemies.
Seems rather harsh.
Purely because I was like a fraction of a level below. And that really pissed me off. And To be honest, I'm kind of done with the game as a result of that. Like, I played it for almost an extra 12 hours yesterday trying to get gear so I could theoretically do it next week. And I didn't. And it really pissed me off. Like, so much so that I'm just like, well, if you don't want me to play the content, then don't make it available to me. Like, say you need to be level 26. Don't faff around with this. Anyone can enter, but we wouldn't recommend it. It's just like, let me play the fucking game. Like, if I want to go in the Vault of Glass, who are you to stop me going in the Vault of Glass? Like, honestly, like, I've been at level 25 now for, I think, like, a good, like, 15, 20 hours of playtime, and I've not got any loot. Mm. It's just like, what, do you want me to play for another 48 hours with no increase? Like, the game's fun, but like when I want to experience this higher grade content, which is a lot more fun than the other stuff, which I've proven from the Queen's Wrath DLC player event thing, where you can actually have to use cunning and use element types and stuff to combat enemies. It kind of really pissed me off that that wasn't the case. Yeah, I'm really annoyed. I don't want to play the game anymore, I don't think. Like, so much so, everyone in my raid party, who are all people who are very pro-Destiny and have spent 2 or 3 days playtime total playing Destiny, were all like, I'm going to go out and buy a new game. Pissed all six of us off that much.
Temporarily, I imagine.
Honestly, a good friend of mine was just like, I'm just going to go buy Shadows of Mordor. One of them was like, I'm going to go buy Smash Brothers. Like, there is no joy when you stop people playing content in a game, especially unfairly, because you need six people, and it means that if two people can't commit the extra time to the game, you are penalised for other people's lack of time. Then it's bullshit.
And you're fed up with what else is there. You've kind of exhausted those possibilities.
I've played every strike at least 6 or 7 times. Yeah. I completed the story just because I hadn't something fresh to do while attempting to get gear.
When something else comes up, which inevitably it will
in December,
that will tempt you to come back to it and
months,
play it a bit.
Two months, though. Yeah. Like,
but then again, you have played it a lot, you know, comparatively. You know,
but a fraction of the time compared to some people, especially the people I was playing with.
Really?
Mm. I don't know. I'm very disappointed.
What I think is appealing to me, at least about Destiny, is it seems quite straightforward. It's just a straightforward game where you shoot stuff.
It is.
Without the kind of extra story level on top. You know, if you compare it to something like Halo 4, which is kind of very narrative driven. You know, you're going along this set path, narrative kind of path, like that.
Yeah.
And then the idea of Destiny appeals to me much more because you plug it in and you just shoot stuff and you get some sort of satisfaction from gaining the levels and such, I imagine.
Yeah.
So for me, Destiny's quite a tempting thing. I may be tempted to pick it up for the 360. Perhaps.
I think if you play it as a casual player who's just playing online, but then again, you can't really just play online because someone who's level 26, like, you can kill them, but like they've got a shitload of advantages, despite what Bungie say about like the damage being leveled out, so a shotgun fires as well as a shotgun. But like, I got a shotgun at the moment that's got 6 things in it and it's fully automatic. So if I unload that in someone, they're going to fucking die.
But like, I can play it cooperatively.
You can play it cooperatively, so, yes.
It doesn't matter to me that maybe it doesn't have a particularly good story. As long as they give me a series of levels to play through, which are quite free.
I mean, you do play games more sporadically than I do. When I tend to get a game, I tend to sink into it 100%.
Is it a good game for a casual player?
Yes, I would recommend it for you as someone who would just play strikes like once a week for an hour or so.
Yeah, that like I do with Halo Reach. Playing
that
it's
a good game.
Firefight.
Yeah, well, someone like me who's played it to death, playing a strike for the 7th or 8th time and then not being rewarded for it, like the game is supposed to, like. Mm.
You've kind of pushed this game to its limits.
I have, I think.
You've kind of smashed it into submission.
I've hit the ceiling with it. Yeah. Like, and hitting the ceiling with this game is like hitting a wall. Because until I get gear, which I can do nothing about, and that's the thing that frustrates me, other than investing more and more time into the Crucible.
Randomly generated stuff, is
yeah,
it?
And it just pisses me off, because you play with some people who are like level 20, and then you'll, like, your ability doesn't come into it. It's just random.
Okay.
All of it is. Like, I've been in Crucible matches, and I've come first. Like, I've killed, like, 30 people in one game of Control to, like, 5 deaths. And then you look at, like, someone on the list who's got, like, 3 kills to 12 deaths, as one of the guys I raided with did. And then they get an exotic fucking hand cannon, and they get one of the best weapons in the game. Yeah. For, like, for essentially being in a match, just being there in body and not in mind. It's frustrating.
And so that's this week's Destiny Roundup. Yeah, it's becoming a regular thing, but maybe not so much regular anymore.
Perhaps not. Not until the new DLC comes out. If I enter Vault of Glass and I really enjoy it, then maybe, but
I've been wanting to make a joke about that all the way through, talking about Vault of Glass. Soon turned out, had a Vault of Glass. Yeah. Anyway, should we move on to our releases for
yes,
the
we should.
Week?
Let's wrap it up.
There's been huge releases this last week. Let's just briefly
mention two of them.
Forza Horizon 2 and Shadow of Mordor, Super Smash Bros. 3DS, Assassin's Creed Birth of the New World, The American Saga. What's that? It's a triple pack, isn't it?
I think that is the version of it that's been re-released with all of the DLC from Assassin's Creed 3.
It's been released on the Xbox 360, PS3 and PC. But Smash Brothers was a huge release. Our friend Austin has been playing that.
Yes, he has.
He's been enjoying it. It seems quite easy to unlock extra characters. He's unlocking a lot of
I've
things
I've heard
very quickly.
That you can literally play the game, the regular mode, walk off the edge 120 times. Like, just play a match, walk off the edge 120 times.
Sounds like fun.
And you will unlock every character. Like, because as long as you play a match, you will unlock a character.
Yeah, I mean, what we were actually wondering, you know, if this is the same for the Wii U version. Are they that similar?
Well, if that's the case, that kind of takes a lot of the fun out of it, right? Mm. Like, I thought the whole appeal of Smash Bros. Characters was play 500 hours.
And new character approaches.
Yeah, but I guess if they want it to be a more tournament game where people can play as characters, then maybe they don't want to faff around with playing Smash Brothers for 500 hours.
In that case, why not just make them all available from the start?
True.
But I had to go on the demo. We mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's fun.
Yes, and, it is. You've been enjoying playing it. Yep. Played as little Mac has actually made me consider buying it because he was different to everything else I've ever played in Smash Brothers.
I had the opportunity to purchase it the weekend, saw it for sale. Decided not to. I've got too many games and I'm not that passionate about Smash Brothers to pick it up just yet.
I've got a million Game Boy games. Yeah. I'm also going back to Wales in a week or two, so I'm just like, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, me too. I bought a Wii Mini.
You did. Don't want to break the bank.
So released on the 7th is Alien Isolation. I've heard mixed things about this. It's got a very favourable Metascore. Is it Metascore?
Yes.
Metacricket.
Yeah, it's a game of cricket you don't actually play. You just discuss.
It's about an 8 on the Metacricket.
scale.
Anyway, I there was a game.
How's it doing on the Jiminy Cricket scale?
GameSpot scale, it got a 6. They described the game as, being a little bit repetitive. You know, you're not always with the alien. Only certain levels, you know, you're actually on the same in the same place as the alien is. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a bit of a fetch quest. You know, you're pulling levers and backtracking and doing things which aren't necessarily very fun.
A few at IGN gave it a very bad score as well.
IGN. I can't say anything tonight. IGN, gave it a 6 as well. I can see from the review I watched that perhaps, it could be quite dull in between the parts of the game where you're actually in the vicinity of the alien.
Yeah. You know what actually kind of makes me laugh is that we live in such a cynical world. I was playing Destiny again with friends, and then after that I was playing it with a few people I know from back home. And everyone was commenting on the reviews that IGN and GameSpot didn't give it good marks. And then I heard it off 3 different people in 3 different things was because I guess they didn't pay IGN enough. Ha 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 ha. And it's just like, wow, you really got that low a view of IGN. And like games criticism in general, that like only someone who's paid a lot of money is going to give you a good score these days.
What I didn't like about what I heard was it's a long game. And a lot of that length is
the
faffing filler.
Yeah.
Basically. Which makes me think, why does it not make a shorter game then? You know, so there's less of...
Because they've got a quota they need to fill.
I wouldn't mind if they made a short game. Anyway, I'm still very curious to check it out. It looks really nice. They've nailed that 70s sci-fi aesthetic, it would seem. So
it does.
I'd like to have a go on it.
So would I. I wanted to play it at the GX, but alas, the queues were too long. If they release a demo, I will jump on it.
And we've already mentioned, maybe that's all you need, a demo of it.
Yeah, perhaps.
8th of October brings us Drive Club on the PS4. Interested to play that. And Final Fantasy 13 has been released on the PC.
Ho, ho, ho.
On the 9th of October.
Yeah.
There's a few more releases on the coming up on the, I think it's the 10th. Akiba Trip. This is a PS Vita and PS3 game, anime styling.
Naked ladies, nakedness, stripping things.
That sort of thing. NBA 2K15 will also be released across most major formats.
Yes.
Apart from portables, it would seem. Project Spark's released on the Xbox One. That's quite a...
Big Xbox One
is a big release. Having Forza Horizon... We're starting to enter that season of big game releases.
They were talking about this on Giant Bomb, and it's very interesting how Xbox seems to have a lot of exclusives leading up to Christmas, whereas Sony just has Drive Club, at least first party. A lot of them are relying both consoles on games that are
multi-format.
Yes, exactly. Alien Isolation, the new Assassin's Creed, everything else seems to be multi-region. Whereas the Xbox One actually has Sunset Overdrive, which I've heard is a very fun game. There is Forza Horizon. So Forza Horizon and Drive Club are going head-to-head, whereas Project Spark and Sunset Overdrive, as well as the Master Chief Collection, seem to be unthreatened by anything on the PS4.
Could we see the Xbox One becoming more popular this Christmas?
But I think what they also mentioned on the podcast that the PS4 has got in its favour is a lot of people are tending to buy the games that are multi-format on the PS4.
Yeah.
So some of the bigger releases are...
So those people who actually own both consoles, you're saying,
favouring the PS4 version.
Interesting. Indeed. Will they favour... What version of Skylanders Trap Team will you favour? Because it's being released on everything. That's out on the 10th of
October. The Wii U one.
Yeah, why not?
Because I bought the PS4 one and then got burnt because I thought, well, this is a new one. We'll have the same thing next year, the Portal, so I can just buy the game. That'll be nice. Fuck you, Activision.
And Sleeping Dogs, the definitive edition, will be released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
The PC version's got a very cool feature called Shanghai Mode or something that won't be in the other versions, which a lot of people are disappointed about.
Okay.
Which is a shame.
They've been shanghaied.
Yes.
And there we have it. Another Tom and Matt attack.
Another day, another dollar.
Spent on video games.
Indeed. Right, if you want to get in contact with us, again, ask us questions. Let us know what you think of this podcast, etc., etc. You can do that.
What did I have for lunch today? Macaroni cheese.
Don't tell them. They need to ask the question.
Yeah, but that's an example.
It is a
question. No one wanted to ask me that.
You can ask us these questions such as, what did Tom have for lunch? Which consoles do we own multiple versions of?
Or maybe questions we haven't already answered.
What's your favourite kind of hat? You can ask us these things on facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can also ask us on the old Twitter at TMAcast. And yeah, if you're in iTunes, you can give us a cheeky rate and review of the podcast. Tell a friend. Let them know about the Tom and Matt goodness. And you can also listen to us in Stitcher and on our website, tomandmattattack.com, and also on our father site, blastprocess.com. Until next time, it's been good night from me and good night from him. Cheerio, and good night.